Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 140. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider.
Hey, Graham.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, so sad news this week. Tragic news in the film world, and I would say sort of the global entertainment world. We lost Gene Wilder. He passed away at the age of 83. His family said it was complications from Alzheimer's disease, which is definitely tragic news, not only, obviously, clearly, immediately for his family, but also for the film world and all of us who grew up and continue to watch his movies into our older age, even, as we learn to appreciate what he brought to the table as a comic performer. And Graham, you know, we haven't seen his entire filmography. There's still a lot of stuff left to explore. Movies that he starred in, movies that he wrote and directed, even movies like The Frisco Kid and Haunted Honeymoon and so many others that I haven't seen. And so there's still a wealth of Gene Wilder in his filmography that I have yet to see, and I can't wait to explore that. But he was obviously a part of some of the greatest comedies in movie history, and a large part of it, and has become synonymous with aspects of film comedy over the years. And so I feel like this is a pretty tremendous loss in the greater entertainment community because of the stamp that he left on so many of us, especially as children in something like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but also as we grew to learn more about and appreciate comedy, especially film comedy, through his work with Mel Brooks in classics like Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles and The Producers. And so I'll just ask you, as soon as you heard this news and as you had to immediately think about Gene Wilder and what he meant to you as a film fan and as a comedy fan, what were your initial thoughts about his career?
Very, very sad to lose him, especially under those circumstances. He died in Stamford, Connecticut, which is just about an hour up the road from where I live in New York City, which is kind of surreal to think about that he was only just a short distance away from where I live. And it was sad to me. I would think over the last couple of decades, honestly, that he didn't work more, and that was definitely by choice, because he said in interviews that he gets scripts sent to him all the time, but he was just kind of disillusioned with with show business and with the movie business itself. And so it was sad that he didn't work more. He definitely wrote. He wrote some novels. He wrote a memoir. I really want to read the memoir. I haven't had a chance to read that. But it's just really interesting. There are very few people whose legacies have remained intact based solely on like a small sampling of their bodies of work. And you mentioned the Mel Brooks collaborations. You know, what he did in Young Frankenstein is just unforgettable. Of course, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is what he'll probably be best remembered for. Certainly that movie had a major impact on my childhood, yours, and I'm sure so many others, especially kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s. And then also his small role in Woody Allen's Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex or Afraid to Ask. It was that work, the work in the 70s, that really cemented him as a legend. And it's really interesting. There's very few people, and he died, yesterday, 2 days ago, and didn't really do much after his collaborations with Richard Pryor, which I guess kind of stopped in the early 90s, didn't do much after that. But the performances he gave in those Mel Brooks movies and in Willy Wonka just ensured that he would forever be remembered as one of the most beloved screen comedians of all time.
I think his last movie, his last film credit, was, like you said, in like 1991. So just if we're looking at it just in terms of his career and his contributions to the medium, film lost Gene Wilder 25 years ago. It's too bad he didn't work, but it's positive to know that he ended his career seemingly strictly on his terms, and he seemed satisfied with what he gave and seemed satisfied not doing anything else. I think he had, like, guest appearances on, like, Will and Grace, which I haven't seen, and he rarely ever gave public interviews, too, and, you know, everybody knows that he had a public relationship with the comic actress Gilda Radner that he was he'll always be associated with forever, and she obviously had a premature passing, and so there are different aspects, you know, of his non-film work and life that he will also be remembered for on top of those things. But I want to focus on those movies and on those performances and on his style and just how unique of a presence he was and he had on screen. And he's a guy I just think people are just automatically so fond of. He's just got such a general likability. And the thing I really love about Gene Wilder, and I think you can see it in most of his work, everybody talks about these reaction shots, that he's these classic sort of, upon his just immediate faces he makes or non-faces he makes, where it's sort of like feigned calmness, a man who is so outraged and
right.
full of rage, who is putting up a front and trying to keep his composure, but at some point he just runs out of time and runs out of that calm, and he lets the cat out of the bag and becomes a rage monster in a moment, even if it doesn't last for too long. Again, you can see that in things like Young Frankenstein, which to me is his masterpiece as a performer and clearly as a writer. He co-wrote it with Mel Brooks, and they won an Oscar. They had an Oscar nomination for it. But pretty much in everything that he does, that's just a nice flourish that he brought and was so specifically his. And again, I in these past couple of days since we've learned this news, I think the one movie I keep thinking about is Young Frankenstein as just the one that sticks out to me. And like you said, most people will remember him for Willy Wonka, and that's fine. It's a wonderful performance, and it's something that everybody can enjoy. But when I go back and watch these clips, and hopefully soon when I watch the full movie again, and when I've watched it recently, I think Young Frankenstein is just one of those rare comedies that has earned its status as a classic piece of comedy filmmaking. And the fact that he had such an enormous hand creatively as a writer, but as being the face of it, and I've gone back and watched clips, and his comic timing and just, again, his acting, it's not just about the comedy. I think that he's such a gifted actor as well. To me, it goes down as one of the great performances in comedy movie history. Is Young Frankenstein that special to you? Are there any others that stand out among the filmography?
Yeah, I think Young Frankenstein is the undisputed champion of his body of work, for sure. I mean, you summed it up perfectly. The way that everything that it is said, when you look at him and his face, when he's confronted with people that are insane or unreasonable or idiotic, and the fact that he's supposedly a reasonable man trying to get through whatever he's experiencing without sinking to their level, and you just see the struggle in his face. I mean, and like you said, that so much of most of the characters he deals with in Young Frankenstein are idiots, and he's just constantly struggling with trying to deal with them and get them out of his way so that he can just do what he wants to do, which is be a scientist. And I think that the other one is Willy Wonka. It's just such a wonderful performance, and the way that he sells during that entire movie, the entire time, just watching people who are representing sort of the main foibles of humanity, impatience, greed, gluttony, et cetera. And he understands it, yet he still hopes to find purity in humanity. That's why he's opened up his factory, and the way that Wilder observes these people behaving this way, while not as extreme as what you see in Young Frankenstein, it still speaks to that aspect of his talent to just react, let the other people mug and act in a more goofy, intense, extreme way, but the way that he just calmly reacts. But yeah, you can see how he's just completely blown away by how these people are acting is his best talent to me. And in Willy Wonka, just the way there's so much that you don't see in Willy Wonka, sort of that builds the legend and the mythology of that character, and which is one of that movie's strengths. And you can see it in his face. You can just see that he's a guy that has seen everything. He's knows more about the world than we will ever know. He's been places probably and will go places that no one else will ever go. He's just the guy. And you can see that in his face. And, you know, he just is so calm and measured. It's just such a masterful performance to me.
Yeah, and that movie, even though it's considered a family film, a children's film, it asks a lot of big questions. And I love how it's one of those movies, one of those rare films that involves kids in that larger conversation and in his quest to sort of find the good in humanity. Again, this jaded guy, this jaded, like, reclusive millionaire who just wants hopeful interaction with decent human beings. Again, I think that's what that movie really boils down to, finding the rare good qualities in people in a modern, cynical time. And it's just such a wonderful performance that goes into dark places. You know, the whole boat ride through the tunnel sequence, it's just such a strange moment in such a really terrific showcase within a showcase of a performance in a film where you see that patented Gene Wilder mania really come to the forefront. It's just for a moment, but it just goes to that dark place and makes it that much more special. And you really ask yourself, are we in a children's movie still? Or this just got a lot weirder, a lot really fast. But, you know, one of the scenes that I watched again recently, and one that really sticks out to me every time I watch, and I go back to Young Frankenstein again, because I think that if you want to see the best of Gene Wilder, you watch the opening sequence to that movie where he's giving the lecture to medical students, and after the lecture, there's a Q&A session where some of the students ask him these really big questions about science and life, and question his family lineage. He's obviously related to Victor Frankenstein, whom, a lineage and relationship he is not proud of. And the frustration in his face, his voice, and it's just amazing. And the fact that he can lend this gravitas and integrity to a character and then introduce just out of nowhere these moments of outrageous slapstick, and they'll just be the quietest little moments of it that add to the brilliance of the moment and the performance. Again, that's something that separates him. And going back to one more very small performance, his very first role in a feature film, I think a lot of people forget that, and certainly it's come up this week, he's in Bonnie and Clyde, you know, this classic American movie from the 60s. That is well known for having big movie stars like Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, and Gene Hackman. And people leave Gene Wilder out of that conversation, and it's easy to because he's got such a small role, and it's his debut where he plays this guy who is kidnapped by the Bonnie and Clyde gang along with his girlfriend, and they end up sort of charming each other during the abduction and during their road trip. And again, we go back to this sense of calm, or this at least feigned calmness, when he learns the true age of his new girlfriend. It cuts to an extreme close-up of Gene Wilder, and his face doesn't change, but the look on his face as he moves his eyes from one part of the frame to the other, it just communicates so much, and you understand exactly what is going through this man's head. And that the fact that he debuted and made such an impact in such a short, you know, sequence in that great American movie, and it's just such a great nugget in such a large piece of cinema's history, it's amazing. And the fact that he was able to communicate that same style at such great lengths immediately after that with the Mel Brooks collaborations and what you mentioned before, I mean, the guy is just, I don't know, he makes you laugh out loud, and he makes you feel good, again, going back to the likability thing.
Yeah, just to touch on, you know, his sort of how he later in his career stepped away from Hollywood. There was a period in the 90s where he actually starred in a sitcom on NBC called Something Wilder. And it was, despite the fact that it was given three chances, separate chances to catch on with viewers, was eventually pulled from the schedule by NBC. So he did a sitcom, and like a family sitcom. And then there were also a couple of A&E made-for-television movies that were sort of like mysteries, like comedic mysteries, that he like co-wrote and starred in for A&E. And those were sort of the last you know, film and television efforts. But he did write a memoir about 10 years ago that I look forward to reading. So, yeah, I mean, the career, I guess, spanned from about, I guess, say, 1967, that was Bonnie and Clyde, up to, I guess, the end of Another You. That was the end of his collaboration with Richard Pryor. And then after that, just did a couple of things in TV that not many people saw. And he won an Emmy, apparently, for his guest role in Will and Grace. And that was about it. But, man, what he did in that short span of time, just unforgettable.
Yeah, and I've only seen one of the Richard Pryor movies. I saw Silver Streak, which was the first one from, like, 1976. I think Arthur Hiller directed it. I think also died recently. Unfortunately, and it's a really fun movie. It's an odd movie because it starts out as sort of this Hitchcockian train movie, and Gene Wilder, despite his hairstyle, is able to sort of pull off sort of this everyman quality to a lot of the characters he's playing, and he sort of becomes that Hitchcockian leading man during the first hour of that movie before Richard Pryor comes into the picture and the movie becomes like this almost like a disaster action movie. But I really want to see Stir Crazy. That one looks really funny, and I think a lot of people regard that as maybe being the funniest movie between those two. And then you have, again, Another You and See No Evil, Hear No Evil. So there's more to explore. And again, the ones that he's also written and directed and starred in, I mean, he did The Frisco Kid with Harrison Ford, and he did several other movies, again, that
World's Greatest Lover.
Yeah, perhaps less well regarded than the other ones, but I mean, if we have an opportunity to explore the work, we should. And again, like, so few of the movies that he made such an amazing, lasting impact. We forget all the rest of the work that he did, which I'm sure features many of his best qualities, especially the fact that he was creating these things as writer and director. So you can imagine the level of passion that went into it. And real quickly, Graham, before we go here, we should mention, you already mentioned it shortly before, but the Woody Allen collaboration, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex, Afraid to Ask, the sequence called What is Sodomy, in which Gene Wilder stars as a doctor, a physician, I guess, who one of his patients is an Armenian farmer who confesses that he's in love with one of his sheep, and the moment that the farmer tells Gene Wilder this news, I hate to keep going back to the same, like, I guess, Wilder trope at this point, but again, his reaction to it, the way he absorbs news from, again, like you said, these ludicrous people and the ludicrous information in these scenarios, absolutely amazing. And the what happens after that, in that short vignette in that movie, is one of his greatest triumphs.
Oh yeah, it's the best, and it's great writing from Woody Allen combined with the genius performance Gene Wilder. It's such a classic vignette that's, you know, steals the show.
Totally, and I think it's fair to say, like, if you're a fan of Woody Allen and his the prose and his literary works that he's written, I think that sequence is probably the best live action. It's probably the best example of what that might look like in a live action movie. So check it out. So Graham, we'll stop it here. And I just want to say thanks for talking Gene Wilder with me. It's sad that we lost him, and there'll never be anybody like him again. And I'm going to go back and just dive into his work now. So thanks again.
Thank you. Can't wait to watch Young Frankenstein again.
Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.